This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
All right, picture this. You're a family who just lost your daughter in the most horrific way imaginable. You spent 2.5 years preparing yourself mentally for a trial, for justice, for answers. Then on a random Sunday night, you get an email, not a phone call, not a meeting, an email telling you that the guy who allegedly murdered your kid just cut a deal to save his own life. That is exactly what happened to the families of Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Zenner Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, who prosecutors in Idaho decided to play the let's make a deal with Brian Koberger. And before we dive into this absolute dumpster fire of a prosecutorial decision-making nightmare, let me just say that if you're new here, buckle up, because this story has everything. We got a criminology PhD student who allegedly decided to take his studies a little too literal. Families who are rightfully losing their minds. And prosecutors who apparently think victim notification means sending a PDF on a Sunday night like they're dropping a Beyonce album. So let's rewind to November. All the way back to November 13th of 2022, almost 3 years ago now, when four University of Idaho students were brutally murdered in their off-campus home. We're talking about young people with their whole lives ahead of them. Kaylee and Madison were best friends since sixth grade, just weeks from graduation, planning to move to Austin together. Zanna was dating Ethan, who was just visiting that night from his fraternity house. These weren't random victims. This wasn't some drug deal gone wrong, as the moronic pro-burgers like to say. Or whatever nonsense the internet detectives are spinning. This was targeted. It was brutal. And it was senseless. Enter Brian Koberger, a 28-year-old PhD student in criminology in Washington State University, just a quick 15-minute drive from Moscow, Idaho. This guy was literally studying criminal behavior while allegedly planning to commit the exact crimes he was learning about. It's like if a medical student decided to create patients instead of treating them. The police tracked him down through a combination of genetic genealogy, cell phone data, good old-fashioned detective work. They found his DNA on a knife sheath left at the scene, which is basically the forensic equivalent of signing your name at a crime scene. Now, here's where things get interesting. And by interesting, I mean absolutely infuriating if you're one of those families. The prosecution had what legal experts call a slam dunk case, as well as you can get. DNA evidence on that knife sheath, cell phone ping showing him near the victim's house, and at least 12 times in the weeks before the murders, an eyewitness who saw the masked figure leaving, his white Hyundai Elantra caught on surveillance cameras, and absolutely zero alibi because, surprise, surprise, our criminology student couldn't produce a single witness to verify where he was during the murders. Fast forward now to just the other day. June 27th, 2025, to be exact, the defense just got absolutely demolished in court. Judge Stephen Hippler basically told them their alternative suspect theory was, and I'm paraphrasing here, complete garbage based on rank speculation. They proposed four different alternative suspects, and the judge shot them all down. Their client was looking at a one-way ticket to death row, and in Idaho, they're not messing around. They recently brought back the firing squad as an execution method, which sounds medieval, because it literally is. So why does any self-respecting defense attorney do when their client is absolutely cooked? They go begging for a plea deal, obviously. According to the letter prosecutors eventually sent to the families, and yes, we'll get to that letter, the defense approached them last week asking if there was any offer on the table, what they would think about it. Now, a competent prosecutor's office might think, hey, maybe we should loop in the families who've been waiting 2.5 years for justice before we start negotiating with a guy who allegedly butchered their children. Rather than just, maybe we might, I don't know, what do you think? And then all of a sudden, boom, we're doing it. But no. Instead, the prosecutor, apparently had some super secret negotiations going on. And Friday, June 28th, they made what the Gonzalez family described as a vague mention of a possible plea deal. The family's response was immediate and unequivocal. They said, and I quote, hard no. That's not ambiguous. That's not, let us think about it over smoothies at TCBY. That's a complete rejection of the idea that this person should get to negotiate his way out of facing a jury and death. Yet somehow, between Friday's vague mention and Sunday night's email bombshell, prosecutors went ahead and finalized the deal anyway. Brian Koberger agreed to plead guilty to 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of burglary in exchange for 4 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. No death penalty, no facing a jury of his peers, no having to sit through weeks of testimony about what he allegedly did to these young people. Steve Gonsalves, Kaylee's father, went on the Today Show and didn't mince words. Idaho has failed. They failed me. They failed my whole family, he said. His family posted on Facebook that they were beyond furious at the state of Idaho. And honestly, can you blame them? These prosecutors literally sent an email with an attached PDF letter on a Sunday night to inform the families that, oh, by the way, we just made a deal with your child's killer and the hearing is on Wednesday in Boise, which is hours away from where you live. So good luck getting there in time. The sheer audacity of this move is breathtaking. We're not talking about a shoplifting case here. We're talking about 4 young people who were stabbed to death in their beds, and the families find out about the plea deal via email. As Steve Gonsalves put it, we weren't even called about the plea. We received an email with a letter attached. That's how Llano County Prosecutor's Office treats murder victims' families. We were harsh on the DA. We were harsh on the police at the beginning, where it seemed they didn't know what the hell they were looking for. But eventually they did. They proved us wrong. They did find Koberger. And bravo. Good job there. But did you succeed at the end? Granted, yes, at the end of the day, he's going away forever. That would be the verdict that I think everybody wanted, but not quite. I think most people wanted him to die. That's not going to happen, though. Now, Koberger gets to be infamous. Now he gets to sit in prison. He gets to get letters. He gets to do interviews. He gets to do all of the stuff that the sick mother effer wanted to always do. He wanted to be BTK. He wanted to be Ed Kemper. He wanted to be all of these killers that he's looked at, studied, fantasized about. And now his name gets to sit there in infamy with them because he gets to live out his days in prison. Now, not all the families are on the same page here, which adds another layer of complexity to this mess. Ben Mogan, Madison's father, told CBS he was actually relieved by the deal. He said they could put this behind them and not have to deal with future court dates and appeals. And look, I get it. The death penalty appeals process in Idaho would likely stretch 30 to 40 years. Do you really want that? Is the big question. As much as Steve Gonsalves is out for blood, and I would be the same way if I were him, do you really want 30 to 40 years of appeals and spend the rest of your life going back and forth with the monster blob of flesh that resembles a human being named Brian Koberger? That's decades of court appearances, decades of reliving the worst day of your life, decades of uncertainty. But here's the thing. Aubrey Gonsalves, Kaylee's 18-year-old sister, put it perfectly when she said that Koberger facing life in prison means he still gets to speak, form relationships, and engage with the world while their loved ones have been silenced forever This guy took everything from these families, and now he gets to negotiate the terms of his punishment. He gets to avoid facing a jury. He gets to skip the whole part where the full horror of what he did is laid out in excruciating detail for the world to see. The prosecutor's letter, according to the Idaho Statesman, defended the deal as ensuring Koberger will be convicted and spend the rest of his life in prison without decades of post-conviction appeals. True. Bill Thompson, Santa, the Moscow prosecuting attorney, and let's be honest for a moment. How do you think Bill would have done in this trial? From what we've seen of Bill, from what we've heard of Bill, from his interviews, do you have the confidence that he would have really nailed this thing in the courtroom? I don't know. That's where this whole thing, my opinion doesn't matter. All that matters is that of the families. But do you really think Bill Thompson would have nailed this? Bill Thompson, the Moscow prosecuting attorney, wrote about how this was their sincere attempt to seek justice. But when Steve Gonsalves met with prosecutors later, he said they basically told him, it's not really about us, it's about their process. Just kind of shut up and get on board and deal with it. I mean, that's, you know, paraphrasing a little bit, but the legal experts are having a field day with this. Paul Murrow, a former NYPD inspector, called the most incomprehensible deal of all time if prosecutors don't at least get Koberger to explain his motives, because that's the other thing. We still don't know why. Why did a PhD student in criminology decide to murder four college students? What was the connection? What was the motive? These families have been living with these questions for years, and now they might never get answers. Ted Williams, a former homicide detective, said that any plea deal should require Koberger to explain when, how, and why he committed these crimes, a la BTK, considering, you know, it's kind of his idol. And I say it, as in BTK, not him, it, because he's an it. He's not a human. Neither is Koberger. We should refer to him as it going forward as well. But if we know about the deal, there's no such requirement. He just has to plead guilty, accept his sentences, and waive his right to appeal. And then they should give Steve Gonsalves a cattle prod and allow him to be in a room with Koberger for an hour and see what happens. Give him a branding iron as well. Then he can spend the rest of his life in prison, keeping his secrets, being studied, being interviewed, being the monster he likes to be because he couldn't fit in with the rest of the humans. So he decided to become a monster, and we're allowing him to live out that dream. And let's talk about the timing here, because it's absolutely crucial. The deal was announced on Monday, July 1st, 2025, with the plea hearing scheduled for Wednesday, July 2nd. It's one day for the families to process the information, arrange travel to Boise, where the trial was moved, and prepare themselves emotionally to see their children's killer accept a deal that saves his life. One day. Shannon Gray, the Gonsalves family attorney, criticized the compressed schedule. The issue is they are trying to cram the plea for July 2nd, only giving the families a day to get to Boise. The Kernodal family is also furious. Kim Kernodal, Zanna's aunt, told TMZ she was so furious she was in tears during a conference call with prosecutors when prosecutors claimed the plea would spare families from seeing gruesome crime scene photos of the trial. Kim allegedly responded, "We know the graphics. They were not trying to spare us." What really gets me about this whole situation is the complete lack of respect for the families. These aren't just names in a case file. These are real people who lost real children in the most horrific way imaginable, and the prosecutors couldn't even pick up the phone. They couldn't schedule a proper meeting. They sent an email on Sunday night like they were canceling a dinner reservation. "Sorry, can't make it to Red Lobster. We got the Cheddar Bay biscuit box at home, and we're making them here." Edwina L. Cox, a Boise defense attorney, called it a huge win for the defense team, noting that by taking the plea deal, Koberger insulated himself from execution. She pointed out that only a jury can sentence someone to death in Idaho, making this the safest option for someone facing overwhelming evidence. And she's right. From a pure legal strategy standpoint, this makes sense for Koberger, but justice isn't supposed to be about what makes sense for the killer. What do you guys think? There's a comment section on YouTube, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please, type away. Everyone in the true crime community who has been following this case obsessively since day one and the reaction to this plea deal has been explosive. The prosecutors took the easy way out. Death penalty cases are expensive, complicated, and can drag on for decades. By accepting the plea deal, they get to close the case, claim victory, and move on. Just like Idaho wanted to do from the beginning. They tore the house down. Remember that? Yeah, the biggest piece of evidence. Let's just tear this down. It's an eyesore. Well, we haven't gone to trial yet. Well, we'll do a virtual house. Oh, you will. That'll be effective. Justice isn't supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be convenient. It's supposed to be about holding people accountable for their actions, especially when those actions involve murdering four young people in cold blood. The judge, however, still has to accept the plea deal at the hearing, and theoretically, he could reject it, though that rarely happens. Steve Gonzalez is hoping for exactly that. He wants the judge to look at the deal, look at how the families were treated, and say, nope, this isn't justice. We're going to trial. And as he put it, there's no justice in this. It's a ridiculous joke. The Gonzalez family said they fought harder than anyone could ever imagine. And I believe them. They wanted their day in court. They wanted to face their daughter's killer. They wanted the world to hear exactly what happened that night in November of 2022. And now they'll never get that chance because some prosecutor decided to make a deal behind closed doors and notify them via email. As we wait to see what happens at that hearing, remember that this case isn't just about Brian Koberger. It's about Kaylee Gonzalez, who is planning her future with her best friend. It's about Madison Mogan, who is just weeks away from graduation. It's about Zana Kernodle and Ethan Chapin, who are just starting their lives together. They deserve better than this. Their families deserve better than this. And frankly, we all deserve a justice system that treats victims' families with more respect than a Sunday night email. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. I'd love to hear them. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, do check out our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us there on YouTube, and you can get away. I got nothing else. I'm kind of shocked by this. As much as this gets us to the ending point of all of this, Koberger doesn't have to be held responsible. Doesn't have to go through that court process. Doesn't have to go through the trial. Doesn't have to be ridiculed. Obviously, this is someone who had a lot of that in his life. And then denied that he did this for almost 3 years. Pointed, literally named other people who had nothing to do with this, saying, these people, maybe they did it. Knowing full damn well that it was him. There's a thing called prison justice. Jeffrey Dahmer found that fade out himself. One can hope, one can even pray, that maybe a lone broomstick that somebody's using to mop up the cafeteria may find its way into Koberger's body. And maybe that will be the end of Brian Koberger. One can only hope, right? Again, your thoughts in the comments section. My name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.